welcome to Just a Minute. Hello there, Sue Perkins here, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, it's a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. And now let me introduce you to the four talented, delightful people who are playing the game this week. They are Shaparak Korsandi, Deliso Chaponda, Heidi Regan, and Paul Merton. Please whoop and cheer for all four of them. And absolutely no change to our regular game. I'll be asking them to speak on a subject I give them for 60 whole seconds without repeating or hesitating or deviating. So let's see how that all goes. We are going to start with you, Shappy. And your subject is the moment I knew I made a terrible mistake.
Oh. Which one shall I do?
Well, you know, you've got a minute. You could probably run through a few if you're prepared to die. I will say this is being recorded. Can you speak for 1 minute, please, about the moment I knew I'd made a terrible mistake? And your time starts now.
The moment I knew I made a terrible mistake is a moment that I've had so often in my life. Where shall I start? Was it the time I went into a swimming pool with an ill-fitting costume that split right where my bottom is? I didn't realise for ever such a long time, and I climbed confidently onto a yacht, which I found out didn't belong to the person I was with. He said that that was his boat, but it turned out he was fibbing. I realised that I had made a terrible mistake even hanging out with such a fellow. Then what happened was we swam to the shore and I left and we realised the beach was not a nudist beach.
Oh, well done, though. Fabulous run. Was that, that was just one story with about 50 terrible mistakes in it.
It was a terrible day. It's in Brighton.
Do you know what? That's the detail we needed. Thank you for that. Deliso, you buzzed there. What was your challenge, my lovely?
A hesitation.
It was indeed hesitation. Which means the subject comes to you. Can you speak now for 17 seconds on the moment I knew I'd made a terrible mistake? Starting now.
The moment I knew I had made a terrible mistake was when I pressed the buzzer without having a mistake in mind. However, I have thought of the fact that my parents called me a mistake, so I myself am a self-fulfilling prophecy of the biggest mistake that has ever been made in climbing out of the womb. I thought that was... It is very weird when you're expecting a laugh and you get, aww.
Well done, speaking as the whistle went, Deliso, and we learned a lot about you. So, you get the point there, and you get the next subject. This is one for musical theatre fans. I'm not sure if you're one of those, but it's Sweet Charity. That's your topic. Can you speak for a minute on it? Your time starts now.
There are many ways to make money for charity. I think the most efficient is with sweets. This is what the Jehovah's Witnesses do on occasion, and also scouts. They get chocolates and biscuits and appear at your door, knock, and if they're Jehovah's Witnesses...
I mean, they'll be pleased with the mention. Shappy, you challenged.
Well, he hesitated, and also, Jehovah's Witnesses, they've never given me sweets.
Haven't they?
Never.
Oh.
They do eventually.
So, you were absolutely right, Shappy. That was a correct challenge. 43 seconds remaining. Tell us everything you know about Sweet Charity, and your time starts now.
If they could see me now, that little gang of mine is a line from Sweet Charity, the musical. What a wonderful show it is. I remember seeing Shirley MacLaine in the film, not the theatre. Who had the money for that in our childhood? She would dance around this opulent room, so excited to be eating fancy chow and wine. That's pretty much all I remember about the film. It's been such a long, long minute.
Not anymore. Paul, you challenged.
Well, it was a kind of plea for help there. But I thought it was also a repetition of film.
It was a repetition of film. Absolutely correct. So you get the subject, Sweet Charity. 14 seconds, please. Your time starts now.
Eric Porter appeared on the Morecambe and Wise show in 1968 and sang the song If They Could See Me Now, That Gang of Mine. And it was one of the first times that a serious actor was seen on that particular television entertainment, sending himself up because...
Speaking as the whistle went, well done, Paul. You get the point. And Heidi, we are with you next. Oh, this is wonderful. The end of the rainbow. You've got 60 seconds on that subject. Your time starts now.
The end of the rainbow is a phrase that is a metaphor for always trying to achieve something you'll never find. Some people think of it as career, others as love. More literal people think of leprechauns. I myself see it as making it to the end of a minute here without making a mistake. Even if I do reach this, I will not have won because the true winner is... Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, there was a hesitation.
Oh, there was so much going.
So your challenge was correct. You get the subject. You've got 31 seconds on the end of the rainbow. Your time starts now.
I saw the end of the rainbow once. I followed a rainbow right through to the end. I'd been driving along the M25 and I thought, oh, there's one. And I parked my car.
What's happened? Shappy just suddenly, she's caved in herself.
Because I've just outed myself as someone who parks their car on the motorway.
Can you imagine this one person out there going, not only was I in Brighton the day I saw a woman in a split swimsuit get onto my yacht, but now I know who parked their car on the M25 in front of me.
And ran towards a rainbow.
I know. Yes, Paul, you challenged.
Yes, there was a hesitation, sadly.
It was a hesitation. You get the top pick. 21 seconds. End of the rainbow, starting now.
It was felt in Ireland, in the land of fables and mystery and myths, that at the end of the rainbow you would find a leprechaun's pot of gold. And of course it is an optical illusion. When you look at the end of the rainbow in the sky, it does seem to reach a designated point in the ground. But if you're anywhere near the M25, make sure there's a distance between you and the car in front in case it suddenly decides to park.
Speaking as the whistle went, as he so often does, gets the point there. Well done, Paul. And we are with you for this next subject. Oh, this is great. Your subject is Columbo. Fabulous. I'd like to speak for 60 seconds, if you can, please, on Columbo, and your time starts now.
Well, it's one of the most popular television series ever made. The Columbo figure was immortalised by Peter Falk, although he wasn't the first actor to essay the role. There was a play long before it became a television programme, and it was then that the writers, William Levinson, I think, and somebody Link, Richard Link, I think, I may have got their names mixed up.
Deliso.
Oh, Link?
Yes!
Of Link. Is that okay?
Double Link. Link, Richard Link.
Is that okay?
It was a repetition.
To be honest, I wasn't listening. I only listen to it when it goes out on the radio.
Delisa, it was a correct challenge. Well done, my friend. You get to tell us all about Columbo in 41 seconds, please. And your time starts now.
I have never seen Columbo, but I know that he is a detective, such as Sherlock Holmes or James Bond. The only difference is he explains...
Well, James Bond isn't a detective. So not only have you never seen Columbo...
I mean, do you know what, Paul? It's a correct challenge, OK? And I'm going to give you the point, but part of me just really wants to hear where this goes now. Yeah. I mean, to have built this on sand would be almost too solid for Delisa. So you get to keep the subject of Columbo. Brace yourselves.
Yeah.
32 seconds, starting now.
There is an element of detection in being a spy, which is why the...
Hesitation.
Yeah,
we can't save you now. Shappy, we're with you now. 27 seconds, please, on Columbo, starting now.
Lieutenant Columbo had a wife that no one ever saw. He often discussed her, though, and I don't...
Paul.
Well, there was a series called Mrs. Columbo. I'm being pedantic, because in the programme, Columbo, you never saw her, but there was a series devoted to her.
Well, I enjoy that, and I'm going to give you an extra point for additional bit of information, but I think Shappy said that Columbo didn't discuss his wife, and therefore she gets to keep the subject, because
sure.
within the context of Columbo, that's true. 21 seconds remaining. Shappy, tell us everything about Columbo, starting now.
Columbo and his wife often had arguments.
Wife. And Heidi.
Oh, I said
wife. Wife repetition.
Yeah, when the audience just going, wife.
Wife.
The audience buzzed me.
Yeah, they just... wife. Just somebody really furious. Just living. I went to see a show and they kept repeating themselves.
That's the last time I go and see the Merry Wives of Windsor.
So, yes, well done, Heidi, with the generous addition of our audience.
Wife!
19 seconds, please, on Columbo, starting now.
I believe that Columbo would show you the killer in the opening scene, and then we knew that for the rest of the episode, which I like that they've taken out any suspense. I love a rom-com where you see them get married at the start and then figure out...
Deliso.
Repetition of start.
Oh, I didn't spot that. Shall I go to the audience? Because I'm scared of them suddenly.
Columbo at the start and rom-com at the start.
Correct challenge, Deliso. Repetition of start, which means you get the subject with just 3 seconds remaining. Yes, there you go. Time starts now.
Columbo was also the nickname of Christopher Columbus, who was a detective.
Lisa was speaking as the whistle was blown, which means he gets the point. That's the end of our opening round. Let's have a look at the scores. Heidi's in fourth place. Shappy in third. Deliso in second. And just a little bit ahead, we've got Paul Merton. We move to the next round, and Shappy, we are back with you again. Your subject is a great betrayal. Take us there without hesitating, repeating or deviating, if you wouldn't mind. A great betrayal, starting now.
The great betrayal that happened in my childhood was when each of us got some money and my older brother convinced me to give him my dosh so he could buy a ZX Spectrum. He bought the computer game and never let me play with it. This was a long time ago, and we're both in our 50s now. Well, he is. I'm hanging on to 49. Shut up. So, to this day, I hold this bitterness. At every family occasion, when I look at him, all I think is, give me my money back! And he looks at me and says, ha, 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 I never will. Ha, ha, ha.
If only he hadn't laughed.
Yeah, he should have just laughed once.
Yeah. So, Heidi, you buzzed.
I was going to say repetition of look, but it was looks and look.
So that's your challenge?
I'm not going to take Paul's challenge. I saw what he spotted. I'm not.
Yeah, you only got
one
crack.
I'm a woman of honour.
You are a woman of honour.
Well, my brother's not.
Sadly, honour won't take you very far in this game.
Okay.
20 seconds, Shappy. You've got the subject for. It's back with you. A great betrayal. Starting now.
Another great betrayal was when my dog licked my other dog before. I'm getting too emotional about this subject. That's what the problem is. Yeah. They love each other more than they love me, I think.
Your dogs?
Mm.
Is that the great betrayal?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to hold that.
Thank you.
And then I'm going to move on to Paul, who challenged.
Yes, repetition of dog.
Yes. Can't deny that.
No.
16 seconds, please, Paul. A great betrayal, starting now.
I'd been responsible for stealing some money from the bank. Everybody knew it. My cousin knew it. My friends...
Oh. Heidi.
Knew it.
Absolutely.
Yes, knew it indeed, which means you get the subject with 10 seconds. Let's hear about your great betrayal starting now.
The greatest betrayal in history occurred when Robert the Bruce betrayed William...
I've got two buzzers simultaneously going, which has never under my tenure happened before. So Shappy and Paul both buzzed. Let's hear what you both got to say. What do you reckon it was, Shappy?
Well, there was a long which I thought was a hesitation.
Correct. Yeah. Paul, what was your challenge?
Yes, there was a hesitation.
Fabulous. Well, there's only 3 seconds to go. You'll speak simultaneously. Yeah, okay. Both of your challenges were correct. I'd like to hear about the Great Betrayal. Preferably without mentioning dogs. Your time starts now.
My and budgie so was a horrible thing. And it just...
Well, Chappie and Paul were both speaking as the whistle went and both gained that valuable extra point then. Well done, you. OK, Delisa, we are back with you. I like this one. When I got in trouble with the law is your subject. 60 seconds on when I got in trouble with the law, starting now.
When I got in trouble with the law for the first time, I had shoplifted some candy and my parents forced me to go to the police station and admit my crime. They punished me rapidly, swiftly, and it has left a dent in me forever. When I got in trouble with the law the second time, it was again for stealing.
Oh. Chappie.
I'm so sorry, you said time twice.
First and second time.
Even though I was thoroughly enjoying a life of crime.
Yes, I mean, there's supplementary questions, but we have no time right now for them. I want to know how many times you were in trouble with the law, but we'll get to it maybe. We've got 40 seconds. When I got in trouble with the law is your subject, starting now.
When I got into trouble with the law, it was because my little boy had called 9 and 2 other digits as well immediately afterwards. They came over, these police officers, and they said, "Do you have a child in this house?" Because that's how they speak in my head. I told them I indeed do have a small person in my abode. And they said to me that a call had been made to them and they need to look at the offspring.
I felt I was tightrope walking. Paul.
That was a hesitation, sadly.
Yeah, it was a hesitation. Right, Paul, let's hear it. When I got in trouble with the law, 11 seconds starting now.
I'd been forging £5 notes. Unfortunately for me, it cost around 6 to make them, so I was losing a hell of a lot of money. Suddenly, there was a knock at the door. I went there, there was a big policeman. He grabbed me by the throat and he said, "Oh..."
Heidi, you're up next. Let's see what we've got in store for you. Ah, a modern legend of film. I love him. Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Heidi, your time starts now.
Keanu Reeves is an actor best known for The Matrix Reloaded. He is a wonderful man who I do love, but I find the beatification of him that has occurred in society is a sad sign of where entertainment and humanity is at. He has reached a level of sainthood purely because he doesn't grope women when they get selfie pictures with him, which I feel is a low bar, but if he's the only man in Hollywood who has passed it, then fair play to him. I was at the bookshop recently and there were 3 tomes titled The Wisdom of Keanu Reeves. If there is an apocalypse tomorrow, in 300 years, and that's all they find, he will be our new god, which I'm okay with, but I think we could do better. People also love him because they see him as representing... You know how I did that? I think Keanu Reeves reached out and gave me the power to do that.
You started mocking Keanu, but that's the way of... He moves in mysterious ways. You spoke as the whistle went, and you spoke for a complete minute, so you get the extra point. And as such a new player of the game, that was extraordinary work. Well done, you. Paul,
yes. You.
When I was 16... That's your subject. Without hesitating, repeating or deviating, tell us about when I was 16 in 60 seconds, starting now.
When I was 16, I also committed what you could call the biggest mistake of my life. I borrowed a fellow pupil's bike. I went to Wimbledon College, which was a school at the top of a steep hill. Having persuaded him to use the bicycle with my bottom on it, I went down this particularly steep bit of ground and I suddenly found myself heading towards a very busy road with traffic coming this way and that. I'd applied the brakes, but I hadn't properly looked at them before I had got onto this two-wheeled vehicle and I realised that by pulling them, they weren't working. I shot across the thoroughfare with a lorry coming right towards me. I went past that, I hit the other side, the curb verb came off the perambulating machine that I'd mentioned earlier, and I found myself lying on the curbside. I was unharmed, the bike wasn't have a scratch on it, a lorry man came out and...
Dilly, sir, you buzzed.
Repetition of bike?
It was after
all... Oh, was it?
It was after all that magnificent...
I almost feel bad.
No, well, you don't feel bad. I survived. Don't feel bad.
Listen, Paul is a master of the game. You know, it's okay. He'll have many magnificent moments to come. And you buzzed in rather wonderfully with just 7 seconds remaining. So props to Paul for speaking in 53. Well done to you for poaching in the final dying seconds and getting the subject to Lisa, which, to remind you, is when I was 16. And your time starts now.
When I was 16, I was an amateur criminal and I was often getting in trouble with the law.
Shappy.
I think he was a pro.
I'm going to give you an extra point for that because you're quite possibly factually correct. But you keep the subject, Delisa, with 2 seconds remaining. When I was 16, go.
When I was 16, I stole a lot of sweets and chocolates.
And so another round counters past us. Let's have a look at some scores, if we might. Heidi's in fourth place. Then we've got Delisa in third. Just ahead of Delisa, we've got Shappy in second place and out in front. We've got Mr. Paul Merton. So we now move to Delisa. I never leave the house without. That's your subject. What can you tell us about that? Your time starts now.
I never leave the house without a notebook because I am constantly looking for ideas and things that I want to remember, and I can be found scribbling notes in a wild passion into this little lib book.
There's not the word for book. Yes, go.
Shappy.
It was a number of hesitations. Yes, that
a slight winding down. Correct challenge, yes. 45 seconds available to you. Let's hear your take on I never leave the house without, starting now.
I never leave the house without a spare pair of pants. Not since the time I went ice skating and fell so many times I got proper soggy. And since then, I thought you never know when you might be in a situation when you fall on your derriere and what you really want is a comforting, warm, flannel, preferably, undergarment. That is an absolute critical thing for me every time I leave the house. Sometimes I've been out and they've fallen from my pocket onto the supermarket floor and I've got some funny looks. The worst was when I went to Buckingham Palace for the Queen's tea party and I looked around and there...
Well done, speaking as the whistle went, you get the points. Fabulous work. Heidi, we're back with you, and the subject is arguing with Alexa.
Ooh.
Arguing with Alexa. Let's hear what you have on this, please. 60 seconds, starting now.
When I am arguing with my wife, she will suddenly shout out, Alexa, how long can you leave butter out of the fridge? There will be no reply, as we don't have an Alexa. I think she just has seen people doing it at their houses and thinks that's what you shout. Sometimes she will cry, Alexa, play Adele, and then I will hold her and comfort her as there is no music. I used to have a flatmate called Alexa who was not to be trusted as she would tell all my secrets to Jeff Bezos. She was a nasty piece of work. Come on.
Myself. Paul, you challenged.
A hesitation, sadly.
Yeah, laughing at my own joke, I really deserve that.
Paul, it was a correct challenge. 18 seconds remaining to you to discuss arguing with Alexa, and your time starts now.
I don't have one of these devices at home, as I believe that they can listen in on what you're saying. Also, if you say, Alexa, play Heroes by David Bowie, somebody listening to this at home will suddenly get that tune playing if they have one of these devices. Now, I'm very happy to say...
Deliso.
Repetition of devices.
So, yeah, correct challenge. And you've buzzed in with 2 seconds remaining.
We could be heroes.
So you got the subject. 2 seconds. Let's hear it, starting now.
It's easier to win an argument with Siri than with Alexa.
Yeah. And sadly, we're now moving into the final round.
Nose!
Thank you. It's with you, Paul, and vertigo. Can you speak on vertigo without deviating, repeating, or hesitating? Your time starts now.
This stage is very high, isn't it?
Anyone going to buzz in? Or... yeah. Shappy, your challenge.
Very long. I mean, stop.
I mean, people listening will go, why was there a 10-minute gap in the middle? Very, very odd for quite a fast-paced show. Yes, it was indeed hesitation. So you get the subject. 49 seconds remaining on vertigo, starting now.
I suffer terribly from vertigo, and I used to live in a very long tower, and my hair used to go right down to the ground, and I couldn't get out. So one day, I thought, well, I should be brave, but when I looked out, I felt so dizzy because I have vertigo. I called out to a pizza delivery man. I said, help me. And he came along and said, just jump. And I said, no, silly, I've got vertigo. I'll get dizzy. Never mind breaking...
Heidi.
Yeah. Dizzy,
sorry.
Yeah,
you
and
got
And also
it.
I was talking utter nonsense and I didn't know where I was going.
You've done that thing again. You know that thing we talked about when you confuse yourself with Rapunzel? You've done it again.
Keep ordering pizzas.
It was the correct challenge. Well done, Heidi. You get... 15 seconds, please, Heidi. On the subject, which is Vertigo, starting now.
Vertigo is a film directed by Alfred Hitchcock, who famously tormented his actors on the set of The Birds by throwing winged beasts at them. So with Vertigo, he would push them from great heights into...
Well done. Speaking as the whistle went, you get the points. And now for some scores at the end of the show. Heidi in fourth place, and just ahead of her, we've got Deliso. Just ahead of Deliso, we have Shappy, and narrowly ahead of Shappy, we've got Mr. Paul Merton, who wins tonight's show. And there, my darling listeners, I'm afraid we do have to leave you. But first of all, thanks to our wonderful players of the game. It's been a delight sharing this space with them. Shappy Korsandi, Deliso Chaponda, Heidi Regan and Paul Merton. And we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised this silly show, and to our mate Nicholas Parsons, who chaired Just a Minute for over 50 wonderful years. We also thank Caroline Barlow, who blows her whistle with such vigour, such aplomb, and sometimes it's so startling. The producer was Rajiv Paria, and it was a BBC Studios production, and this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks so much for listening, and do please join us again next time we play Just a Minute. (Laughs)